ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி ஸ்லோகா 132. அத்ரைவ சத்வாத்மநிதி குஹாயாம் அவ்யாக்ருதாகாஷ்ய உஷத் பிரகாஷஹ ஆகாஷ உச்சைரவிவத் பிரகாஷதே ஸ்வதேஜஸா விஸ்வமிதம் பிரகாஷயன். Here the Acharya is saying, even though consciousness, the Chaitanyam, is all-pervading, it can be recognized only in one place by me, and nowhere else it can be recognized. And that place is one's own mind. I can never experience consciousness in your body or in your mind. For example, if there is pain in my finger, the doctor can never experience my pain by touching my finger. Therefore, consciousness in the other person can only be inferred by me, but not directly experienced by me. The Acharya says here, Atra eva prakashate, first line and third line. Atma is understood, we should supply Atma here. So Atma shines, or Atma is evident here itself, referring to oneself. And here means where? Nidhi guhayam. In the cave of the mind or intellect, guhaya, dihi, dihi means buddhihi or antakkaranam. Generally, mind is called a cave in scriptures. Buddhi guha, guhahitam, guhashayam, all those various usages are there regarding this mind. So, the reason being, it's in a cave. Generally, mind is called a cave. And because it is in a cave, whatever thing that is there in the cave is not recognized, or it is hidden, because a cave is dark within. The term guha itself is formed from the root guh. Guh means to hide. Guhyate asmin sarvam iti guha, in which things always remain hidden. They are all covered. They are unrecognized. So guhu samvarane iti dhatu, actually. So, hidden inside because of darkness. And mind is called guha because the chaitanyam in the mind is hidden for everyone. In Kathopanishad, Yamasamraja, he says, chaitanyam is hidden in the guha. Tam durdarsham gudam anupravishtam guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam. That's what is said in Kathopanishad. In local guha, the one that is there in the forests and all, in those caves, there is darkness. And in the mental guha, the darkness is nothing other than ignorance. Ignorance of the self. Because of this ignorance or darkness, the Atma is hidden, as it were, in the buddhi guha. Therefore, buddhi guhayam Atma prakashate. And there too, during which condition the Atma is evident very well? Avyakrita akashe. Avyakrita akasha literally means karana shariram. It is a technical word in this context. Karana shariram, it indicates a quiet mind. So within the buddhi, which is quiet, which is tranquil, which is thoughtless, as though it is in sleep, it is a non-extravert mind. And why do we say the tranquil buddhi? The reason is, in a thoughtful mind also consciousness is there. In a thoughtless mind also consciousness is there. Then the problem is, in a thoughtful mind, consciousness is not easily recognized because the thoughts, they distract our attention. Whereas in a thoughtless mind, distractions are not there. For example, the movie screen, the familiar example we have, the movie screen is there during all the time, during the interval time also, intermissions also, and also during the movie projection. But during the intermission time, the screen is never missed. But during the movie projection, even though I see the screen only all the time, but since I am so much absorbed in the movie, I do not recognize the screen. As Swamiji says, if one does screen shravanam, screen mananam, and screen vididhyasanam, and finally screen nishtha, the person does, then he will never forget the screen with or without the movie. So initially, I require the intervals to recognize the screen, and thereafter, always I see the screen. Similarly, consciousness is evident in thoughtful mind and in thoughtless mind also. But in the beginning, the Upanishads, they teach us to have a tranquil mind, a calm mind to recognize the Atma. And thereafterwards, once Nishtha comes, once I can recognize Atma all the time, as Krishna says actually in the Bhagavad Gita, Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeva tattvavite pashyan, shrinvan, sprishan, jigran, ashnan, gachan, swapan, swashan, pralapan, visrujan, grinnan, unmishan, nimishan api. He may be engaged in any activity, does not matter. He will never miss Chaitanya. Krishna says, sarvata vartamanopi sa yogi mayi vartate. Let him do anything, he never will lose sight of the substratum, that is the Atma. Therefore, in the beginning stages, Atma is evident in the thoughtless mind or on an extrovert mind, and later the consciousness is evident in a thoughtful mind also. So initially in a non-extrovert mind, it is evident, but later in a thoughtful mind also. So avyakrita akashe, in quietude, in blankness, the guhaya. And what type of mind it is? First description is a quiet, tranquil mind. That's what he said just now. And there is another adjective now. Sattvatmani, made up of sattva guna, sattvatmani, product of sattva guna, sattva karyam, sattvam eva atma swarupam rasaha saraha upadana karanam yasya sattvatma. That's the Vacharya says. So for this, we should remember the introduction, actually, when we did all, I don't know how many remember the introduction, that the mind is born out of sattva guna of which element? Of all the five elements. Actually, this we already mentioned it during Viveka Chudamani introduction time. And also, people, if they have, if they want to refresh, they can refer to the Tattvabodha lectures. So the mind is born out of the sattva guna of all the five elements. And the sense organs, they are born out of the sattva guna of one element. And the organs of action, they are born out of the rajo guna of one element. And the pancha pranas, they are born out of the rajo guna of all the five elements. And all these are all, this we have seen in the in our Vedanta primer. I call it Vedanta Primer, Tattvabodha Lectures, 101, Vedanta 101, Tattvabodha. Please refer to those notes, if those lectures recordings are any refresher. So, Sattva Atmani Di Guhayam Avyakrita Akashe. In the tranquil mind, Atma Prakashate, Atma is evident. In that tranquil mind, Atma is evident. And what type of Atma it is? Ushat or Uru Prakashaka. There are two readings, Ushat Prakashaka or Uru Prakashaka. Both are applicable here. Which is very bright, which is intensely effulgent. Uru means intensely, Bahu, Prakashaka, Bahu. And Prakashaka means effulgent. And why is Atma called intensely effulgent? Because Atma's effulgence is unborrowed. Whereas mind also becomes effulgent or sentient, but the sentiency of the mind is only a reflected glory. It is a borrowed glory. Therefore, it can never be as bright as the original. Like the reflected sunlight in a mirror, it can never be as bright as the original sunlight. That is why Atma is called Jyotisham Jyotihi, light of all lights, Uru Prakashaka. And if you take the other reading, Ushat Prakashaka, it is also okay, because Ushat is Ushati, highest. Ushati Riva Mataraha. During Sandhya Vandana, we address Sandhya Devi like that. So there is also another significance. When other thoughts are not there to distract me, Atma appears very bright, even though Atma is evident uniformly all the time. We can give actually many examples for this. For example, the ticking of a clock, a very familiar example in the night. We don't recognize the ticking of the clock at all in the day. For some people, that same ticking becomes even a big noise. They don't even get good sleep. They get disturbed during sleep if the clock ticks. The same clock was ticking throughout the 24 hours. But in the night time, when all other distractions are absent, this one becomes even more disturbance. So also in a quiet mind, Atma Uru Prakashaha. In a thoughtful mind, Atma is Alpa Prakashaha, as it were. And an example is given in the shloka. How is the Atma shining in the mind? He gives an example. Akashe Ravivate. Just as the sun shines in the sky above, Uchaihi. In the Uchaihi refers to the sky. So Akasha here refers to the sky. Just as the sun shines bright above the sky, similarly, the Atma shines in the mental firmament. And not only Atma shines brightly, he says, Swatejasa Vishwam Idam Prakashayanna. Not only it shines by itself, it illumines the entire world with its brightness. Prakashayan, it illumines. Idam Vishwam, this entire universe. How? Swatejasa, by its own light. When he writes this, actually Acharya has in mind what shloka? In Mundaka Upanishad or in Katoka Upanishad shloka, this is a very popular shloka. Natatra Suryo Bhati na Chandra Tarakam Hema Vidyuto Bhanti Kutoya Magnihi Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam Tasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhas. So this is a very popular shloka. Acharya remembers perhaps that shloka when he writes this. That means what? Atma gives effulgence or light to the mind. And because of that, mind becomes known and becomes sentient and lends consciousness to sense organs in turn. And the sense organs, they become known and they become sentient. And those sense organs in turn, they illumine what? Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all those faculties, they shine. That is why in Dakshinamurti Stotram, Acharya says, Nana Chitra Ghatodara Sthita Maha Deepa Praka Deep Deepa Prapabhashwaram Jnanam Yasya Tu Chakshuradhikarana Dvara Bahispandate. So that is how they all shine. Therefore, everything is known. Means what? I am conscious of everything. That means everything is pervaded by consciousness. And as even things are pervaded by consciousness, I am conscious of them. Therefore, if someone asks, what does the consciousness illumine? The answer should be, what does the consciousness not illumine? In fact, if we say there is an object, that means I am conscious of it. Whatever is, I am conscious of it. How do you know? If I am not, I cannot say it is. So Vishwam Idam Prakashayanna. It illumines and shines in the mind. Shloka 133. Jnata Manoham Kriti Vikriyanam Dehendriya Prana Kritakriyanam Ayogni Vattana Nuvartamanaha Na Cheshtate No Vikaroti Kinchanam. The fourth line of the previous shloka is explained here in this shloka. Atma illumines everything. Here the details are given. How it illumines everything. We have to supply the word Atma everywhere. Jnata, Atma Jnata. Atma is the illuminator of all these following items. He gives a list here. What are they? When we say Atma illumines, again a small detail, we should be careful. We are using a verb. But whatever normally the verb indicates, we should not take it here in this context. This we have told earlier itself. A verb indicates an action, leads to a modification, an impermanence, because it will have a starting time and an ending time. And the willpower for doing an action. But when we say Atma Ilyu, means we should not extend all these four, action, modification, impermanence and willpower. They are okay for normal actions, but when we say Atma Ilyu, means for that action we should not extend these four. For Atma illumination is not an action, not a modification, not an impermanent function, nor does it involve a will or choice. But for want of words, we are using a compromising expression, as Swamiji says, that is this verb, illumines. So it should be Atma illumines. Illumines should be in quotes, not the common illumination. And what exactly does it mean? In the presence of Atma, everything is illumined. That is the idea. And what are they? Mana Ahankriti Vikriyana. Atma illumines the modifications of the mind and the ego. Ahankriti, ego, manaha, mind. When the ego says, I am happy, I am unhappy, I am tense, I am calm, I am worried. In all these things, I is the subject to change. Ahankriti. And manaha means mind, and vikriya. Vikriya means the modifications. And not only that, deha, indriya, prana, krita, kriyanam. It also illumines all the functions performed by krita and kriya. All these functions are activities performed by the deha, indriya and prana. Deha, the body, indriya, all the 10 sense organs, 5 sense organs and 5 organs of action, and prana, pancha pranas, all the 5 pranas, all their functions, they are all illumined by what? By Atma. And how does it illumine? By pervading them. Illumination requires pervasion. For example, the tube light, it illumines this book. Means what? The light has to pervade the book. Atma illumines all organs. How? By pervading them. And Acharya gives an example here. Ayognivate. Like a red hot iron piece. Ayaha. Ayaha means iron. Iron piece. So it's iron. It's a napumsakalingam. Ayaha, ayasi, ayamsi. So sakarantaha. So like the fire pervading any red hot iron piece. Similarly, the mind is pervaded by what? By the consciousness. Now, when we have a red hot iron piece, there are two things happening. The iron piece and the fire principle. Both are there. The fire principle does not have a shape of its own. But the iron has. Imagine that blacksmith, he is beating the red hot iron. Actually, these are all not common sight anymore. When you used to be in the villages, you know, they used to have the bullock carts. And the huge wheel of the cart, they will fit it with an iron rim. So that the cart won't get, the rim won't get, you know, wear and tear. And for that, they will make it red hot. And two guys will lift it from two sides and then fit it onto that. And it will be glowing hot. And when the blacksmith, when he beats this red hot iron and converts it to various shapes, as even the shapes are changing, the fire pervading the iron piece also appears to change. But actually, there is no change of form taking place to the fire principle at all. Similarly, consciousness is like power principle, fire principle. Body is like the iron piece. And when the body is a baby body, the consciousness also appears to be of the size of the body, of the baby. And even as the body increases, the consciousness also seems to expand. Previously, he had a, Swamiji jokingly says, previously he had a drumstick-like body. Now he has got a pumpkin-like body. And the consciousness also seems to be of that size. Even though for appearance, the consciousness seems to assume and change shape, the fact is consciousness does not have any shape of its own. So he says, Ayognivate. Just as the fire seemingly assumes the shape of the iron piece, similarly, anuvartamanaha, the consciousness also imitates. Anuvartana means what? The shape of the body as it were. Anuvartate, sharirasya akaraha, vartate. Sharirasya akaraha, shariram anuvartate. Anu. Anu means in keeping with the body. Really speaking, the consciousness does not change at all. Then what is its real nature? Na cheshtate. It does not do any action, does not undergo any modification. Kinchana no vikaroti. Nor does it modify any other object also. It does not modify itself. It does not modify anything else also. Neither it modifies by itself, nor does it cause any modification in others. It is neither a karta nor a karayita. But all the time, it appears to change and causes change. It appears to. Shloka 134. Na jayate no mriyate na vardhate na kshiyate no vikaroti nityah viliyamane piva pushyamushmin na liyate kumbhaivambara swayam. So in the previous shloka, the Acharya talked about three features of Atma. And what are those? Atma is the witness of everything. Jnata. Jnata means Sakshi in Shloka 133. And two more features were also given. Na cheshtate and na vikaroti. Which means na karta, na karayita. Both all that is a. Neither does it do anything nor make anyone do anything else also. Now in this shloka, the Acharya points out that Atma is nirvikaraha. It is free from all modifications. We have seen before that the physical body is subject to sixfold modifications. Asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. Asti means it is in potential existence in the womb of the mother. And then jayate, it is born, it's thus birth. Vardate, it grows. Viparinamate, it changes. Apakshiyate, it decays. And vinashyati, it dies. These are the sixfold modifications, sixfold vikara, shad vikaras of the body. These six modifications are intimately experienced by all. Here the Acharya points out that the consciousness is free from all these six modifications. And here he closely follows the Kathopanishad and Gita mantras. He says, na jayate mriyate va kadachit. That mantra we are all familiar. So, na jayate na vardate. We have to change the order here. Na vikaroti na kshiyate also. So, we say na jayate, consciousness is not born. Na vardate, does not grow along with the body. Na kshiyate, it does not decline when the body declines. Na vikaroti, does not undergo transformation when the body changes. And finally, na mriyate, it does not perish when the body perishes. So, five modifications are mentioned here. The sixth one also we have to supply, namely asti. The first one, that it exists in a potential form in the womb of the mother, that is the body. So, consciousness does not have all these six modifications. That means, according to Shastras, consciousness is not a property of the body. This we have mentioned many times. Consciousness is not a property of the body. If consciousness is taken either as a part of the body or property of the body, then naturally when the system collapses, then its property also will collapse. If consciousness is a neurological or cellular phenomenon, then consciousness would have gone along with the body. The very fact that Shastra says that consciousness does not perish, that indicates that it is an independent entity pervading the body. And since it does not have all these sixfold modifications, it is nityaha. The consciousness is eternal. And this is the most important and most unique contribution of Vedanta, that segregating the consciousness from matter and showing that consciousness is neither bound by time nor by space, and identifying this consciousness which is beyond time and space as the ultimate truth of the universe, or ultimate content or stuff, substantial content of the universe, that is the most unique teaching of Vedanta. That alone Shankaracharya presents it here as nityaha. Nityaha means eternal. Then how come we talk about the death of a jiva? Because this confusion always will come. If we say that Atma is eternal, then Jivatma also is eternal. Atma, Jivatma. Then how do we talk about the death of the Jiva or birth of a Jiva, travel of a Jiva? We are doing Shraddha, Tarpana for Jiva. For whom? Shankaracharya says, all these are aberrations born out of ignorance. He says, Amushmin Vapushi Viliyamane. When this body disintegrates, Vapush means physical body. When this body disintegrates, Naliyamane, the consciousness does not disintegrate. But it appears to disappear or die. That is the non-expressing consciousness. Because the medium is not there anymore. The non-expressing consciousness is mistaken as non-existent consciousness. It is only non-expressing. It is non-manifesting because the medium is gone. But it is mistaken as non-existent consciousness. But really speaking, consciousness does not become non-existent at all. Naliyate. And he gives an example here. Kumbe ambaram iva. Like the space in a pot. Kumbe. The space which is conditioned within a pot is a functional space only. It's a useful space though. When enclosed within the walls of a pot, then the space is useful as a container. The container is never useful. It is only a transferred epithet actually. The utility is not for the container. It is for the space within, the enclosed space. Therefore, the enclosed space in the pot is useful. And the non-enclosed space is not. The outside space is not. Whereas inside the space, I can use it as a container. Useful, but it is not. The outside space is not useful though, but it is not non-existent when you compare the part space. Similarly, here also, the body-mind enclosed consciousness. The body-mind enclosed consciousness is a functional expressive consciousness, and the unenclosed consciousness is non-expressive. It is non-functional consciousness, which is mistaken as what? Non-existent consciousness. Therefore, kumbe ambaram iva. And how do we extend the sentence now? Kumbe viliyamane ambaram naliyate. When the part disintegrates, part space does not. It still exists. Similarly, when the body disintegrates, the space-like consciousness does not disintegrate. Swayam, that itself does not integrate. That's what is implied there. Shloka 135. Prakriti vikriti bhinnaha shuddha bodha swabhavaha sadasadidamasesham vasayan nirvisheshaha vilasati paramatma jagradadishvavastasu ahamahamiti sakshat sakshi rupena buddhehe. In this shloka also, Shankaracharya, he brings the sakshi nature of Atma. Atma sakshi. Because this nature of the Atma is more important. It is evident all the time, the sakshi nature of the Atma. Every experience of mind is a proof for consciousness as the witness. Just as every photograph proves the existence of the camera. In no photograph, camera is seen. But when we see the photograph, the camera is evident automatically. Even though I don't see the camera in any picture. But I never doubt its existence. And when we say experience, both the external experience and the internal experience. And this Sakshi Swarupam, he describes further here. If you look at the third line, Paramatma. This Atma, Supreme Self, real nature, is Prakriti Vikriti Bhinnaha. Each word is very significant word. Prakriti. Prakriti means the cause, the karanam, or the material cause, the upadana karanam, root material. Root material is called Maya in the Shastras. We have seen this earlier. So Prakriti is the basic matter principle, the root matter principle, or Maya. Or call it energy also. So the fundamental most form of matter, that is Prakriti, and Vikriti. Vikriti means the effect, a karyam, or all the evolutes of Prakriti, all the modifications of the energy, The energy may condense into atoms, and atoms may further form molecules. Molecules may further form cells, and cells may further form the human being. And all the other things can form. And the later forms are modified versions. They are all called Vikriti. So both the Prakriti and the Vikriti are stages or conditions of matter. And what about consciousness? Under which category that will come? Prakriti, Vikriti, Bhinnaha. It is neither the basic causal matter, nor it is the evolved universe. Vikriti is the effect, the evolved universe. Then what is it? He will tell actually at the end, it is the witness. It is the illuminator of both of them. Because we should remember that Prakriti modifies to become Vikriti. Energy modifies to become matter. Matter modifies again to become energy. Therefore, Prakriti also is Savikaram. Vikriti also is Savikaram. Whereas consciousness is Nirvikaram, not subject to any modifications. So, Nirvikara consciousness is different from Savikara Prakriti and Savikara Vikriti. And the same line, it can be looked at perhaps from a different, at the individual standpoint also. When we look at the Prapancha, the universe, this is what we said. But at the individual level, Prakriti is what? Is Karana Shariram. And Vikriti is what? Is the Sukshma Shariram and Stula Shariram. Karana Shariram modifies to become this. Prakriti, Vikriti, Bhinnaha. Karana, Sukshma, Stula, Sharira, Bhinnaha. It is neither cause nor effect. Bhinnaha. From this, it is also clear that Shastra does not look upon consciousness as a product born out of matter. We already told, consciousness is not a product or property or part. So, it is not a product born out of matter. If consciousness is seen as a product born out of matter, evolved a few billion years ago, if it is in the biological evolution, then consciousness will come under what? It will be only Vikriti only, because of biological modification. Vikriti is a product. So, if it is neither cause nor effect, or if it is not matter, then what is it? He says, Shuddha Bodha Swarupaha. It is of the nature of pure consciousness. And it does not fall under any matter. It is not subject to any laws of matter. Therefore, no scientific law which are applicable to matter can be applied to consciousness. It is La Atitaha. Like it is Desha Atitaha, Kala Atitaha. It is also La Atitaha, Science Atitaha. You cannot contain by any scientific base of understanding. Actually, one scientist seems to write, consciousness can never be studied under the scientific theories or principles because it does not subject itself to any of the laws of science. Therefore, it will remain a permanent mystery in the field of science. Therefore, Shuddha Bodha Swarupaha. And what does it do? Sada Saditam Asesham Vasayan. It illumines the matter. It is different from matter and the illuminator of matter. What type of matter it is? Sat, Asat. Sat means gross matter. That should, we should be careful here because the word Sat is used with different meanings in different contexts according to context. So, contextually we have to take the meaning. In some places, Sat is called pure existence. Satchidananda Swarupa. Satchidananda. Sat means their consciousness itself in Satchidananda. Here, Sat here means gross matter or Murta Prapanchaha. In Vedanta, they call it Murta Prapanchaha, gross matter, because of the context here. And Asat refers to subtle matter. So, Sat is gross matter, Asat is subtle matter or Amurta Prapanchaha. Murta Prapanchaha and Amurta Prapanchaha. And this definition is given actually borrowed from where? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. There is a section called Murta Murta Brahmanam. Vevavaham Brahmano Rupe Murtancha Amurtancha Martyancha Amurtancha Satcha Tyancha. So the word Sat is used in the sense of Murta Prapancham in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. That is a meaning that is given here. So this Murtha and Amurtha Prapancha, in scientific language we can call it Murtha Prapancha is equal to matter and Amurtha Prapancha equal to energy. And at the individual level, Murtha Prapancha we can call it as the grass body, Stula Shariram, and Amurtha Prapanchaka as the Sukshma Shariram and the Karna Shariram, the subtle body and the causal body. So all these forms of matter, Asesham, without any exception, completely, Vasayan illumines again within course, not an action born out of will or anything, as we explained earlier, illumines. In the presence of consciousness, they are all known. So Bhasayan Nirvisheshaha, it is absolutely featureless. Visheshaha means gunaha, features. So Nirvisheshaha means Nirgunaha, free from all attributes, all gunas. Again, it is also based in Brihadaranyakam Upanishad. All these ideas are borrowed from there. Astulam, Ananu, Ahraswam, Adhirgam, Alohitam, Asneham, Achayam, Adharmaha, Adamaha, Avayuhu, Anakashaha, Asangam, Arasam, Agandam, Achakshushkam, Astotram, Avak, Amanaha, Atejaskam, Apranam, Amukam, Amatram, Anantaram. That is how it, definition of consciousness given in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Each A negates one feature. Asthulam, sthulam, it is not sthulam, asthulam. So these are the common features we experience in the world. And the Upanishad takes each feature and negates each. Atma is not this, Atma is not that, Atma is not this. So that is what is said here, Nirvisheshaha. And such a Paramatma Vilasati. Vilasati, because if we ask, is it utterly featureless? How do we know this then? It may be a big bluff or big imagination. Where there is no feature, how can I ever comprehend? Maybe people just, you know, they say all these things, maybe big imagination. So Sankaracharya says, it is one thing which proves everything, which doesn't need a proof for itself. The prover of everything does not require a proof. If the prover requires another prover to prove, then that prover also will require another prover to prove. So there must be one ultimate thing which proves everything, proving itself. That self-proving other prover is called consciousness. That is called Swatasiddhaha. I think I have used this term earlier in some other context. It is Swatasiddhaha or Swaprakashaha. That is called Vilasati. Swayam Prakashate. Paramatma shines self-evidently, self-provingly, without requiring any proof. Shankaracharya writes this, having in mind the Upanishad Vakyam, he writes, Natatra Suryo Bhatina Chandratarakam, Nema Vidyuto Bhanti Kutoya Maknihi, Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam, Tasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhati. The same idea Shankaracharya has in mind, then he writes this. So, Paramatma Vilasati. And when does the Paramatma shine? Jagradadi Avastasu. In all the states of experience, Jagrada Avastha, Supna Avastha, Sushupti. Even during the time changes, time series. We have told earlier in some other context that in one 90-second dream, people say a dream lasts maybe about one and a half minutes, I guess. Within that 90 seconds, a person, you know, he gets married, he gets children, he gets grandchildren, and he grows old, and he is trying to read a newspaper with the help of a grandchild, and the grandchild runs away, he shouts at him. All those things happen within a 90-second dream. So the 90 seconds of the waker is years for the dreamer. Between Jagrat and Swapna, the time series is very different. In Sushupti, there is no time series at all. Consciousness illumines the arrival of time series 1 and departure of time series 1. Jagradavastha starting, ending. Swapnavastha beginning. Arrival of time series 2 and departure of time series 2 at the end of Swapna. And in Sushupti, timelessness also. How can the consciousness be within any time series if it is the illuminator of all these time series? The illuminator of all the time series can never be within any time series. We have to extend this to the space also. The dream space and waker space Consciousness cannot be within the dream or waker space. Both appear and disappear. Consciousness illumines them. So, jagradadishu avasthasu, waking, etc., all those states, aham, aham, iti vilasati. How does the Atma shine in all these states? As I am aware of the external world, my mind, all my emotions intimately, the blank mind also I am aware, in the form of I am aware of. That is how the consciousness, it shines. I need not say I am aware of it. The very fact that I am talking about it shows that I am aware of it. In fact, I am the witness of whatever I talk about or whatever I do. I am the awareer. I am the experience. Therefore, I am the basic, original, fundamental subject. In Sanskrit, subject is translated as aham. Aham, aham iti, as the very self, the subject. The consciousness is available as a subject. And that is why it does not require any proof. So to prove that you are listening to the webinar, for example, you don't need a proof. To prove for you to listen to the webinar, you don't need a proof yourself. Even though you don't seek the proof, you don't doubt your existence and listening to the webinar. So aham, aham, iti vilasati, in the form of I, it shines. And how it shines? Sakshat. We have to add the verb here, vilasati, everywhere. Sakshat. So jagradadishu avastasu vilasati. Then aham, aham, iti vilasati. And sakshat vilasati. It shines immediately. Sakshat. Sakshat should be translated to a special word with a special meaning here. The special word is what? Immediately. Immediately it's recognized. The special meaning is without requiring any medium or instrument. It is the awareness principle doesn't require any medium. But understood immediately. Like what? Eye, nose, tongue, none of those media or instruments are needed for that. So, pratyaksha pramana is the medium number one. Anumana pramana, medium number two. Calculation, thought, thinking, medium number three. All those media are not required. You don't need any medium to prove. Even when the thought is not there, the consciousness is evident as the illuminator of the thoughtless state of the mind also. That is called Sakshat Vilasati. Shines immediately. The moment we say it requires a medium, then when the medium is absent, the consciousness will not be evident. But that we cannot say, because even when the medium is absent, consciousness is still evident, because consciousness is the illuminator of the absence of the medium also. So Sakshat Vilasati. And buddhehe sakshi rupena vilasati. It shines as the witness of or as the illuminator of the buddhi, the mind. Here buddhi, mind, antakaranam. So in science, the mind itself is as a separate entity from brain is never proved. That itself is a big science. Science has a long way to go still, because sukshma shariram itself is not yet proved scientifically. Because as far as science is concerned, mind is nothing but the physical gross brain. But in the Shastra, mind is not the brain. Because brain comes under what? Brain comes under sthula shariram. Whereas mind comes under sukshma shariram. Brain is tangible. Mind is intangible. Brain perishes at the time of death. But mind does not. Even the intangible mind is not proved or accepted by science. That means what? Even the sukshma shariram is still under scientific investigation only. And after that, once they succeed, one has to go to prove karna shariram. And then only one has to go to prove the atma. So we have to keep the fingers crossed till that proof comes from science. Till then, we have to rely only on shastras. If at all that proof comes back. So the Acharya says, buddhehe sakshi rupena bhati. It shines. Shloka 136. Niyamiti manusamam tvam swamatmanam atmani ayamahamiti sakshat vidhi buddhi prasadat janimarana taranga parasamsara sindhum pratarabhavakrutartaha ब्रह्मरूपेण संस्थः. So in this shloka, Shankaracharya, he concludes the Atma discussion. So which started from shloka 124 and concludes in this shloka. Shloka 136, Atma topic. That is the second topic of the seven topics introduced in shloka number 49. So let us remember the shloka number at least 49. So topic number one was Anatma, that was concluded earlier. And topic number two is Atma, that is getting concluded now with this shloka. And concluding short shloka, what he says is, knowing this Atma alone, as described in this shlokas from 124 to 136, is the way for freedom or liberation or moksha. So Atma Jnanam Eva Moksha Sadhanam. And also he presents some conditions or preparatory steps or qualifications for Atma Jnanam. So therefore the content of this shloka is Atma Jnana Sadhanam, Atma Jnanam itself, and Atma Jnana Phala, the benefit of Atma Jnana. So this Shankaracharya presents as his advice to every human being and particularly to every mumukshu for freedom from samsara. That's what he is trying to do. So he says, Tvam Vidhi. If you want to get freedom from samsara, what you should do? Better you realize, better you know. Tvam in the first line and Vidhi in the second line should be connected. And what should you know? Amum Swam Atmanam. This Atma, which is your real nature, the real you. By using the word Swam Atmanam, Shankaracharya he indicates that the body is not yourself. It is exactly like the shirt that you are wearing. Vasamsi Jirnani Tavihaya, Krishna said. It's like a shirt, it's like a dress. Mind is not yourself. It is like the spectacles, for example, a medium that you use for perception or transaction. You are not the body, you are not the mind. The real you is Amum Atmanam. Atma of this description of shlokas 124 to 136 that we saw. So such an Atma Vidhi. Better know that. And how should you know? Sakshat Vidhi. Aparokshataya Vidhi. It should be an aparoksha jnanam. That means Atma should not be put in third person singular or second person singular, but it should be as first person singular, I. You can never say, I have an Atma, which is eternal, immortal and all. The real knowledge is, I am Atma. I have a body, I have a mind, but I am Atma. Not that I have Atma. I have a body and I have Atma is paroksha jnana or objective knowledge. And I am the Atma, I have body, that is called aparoksha jnanam or direct knowledge or immediate knowledge without requiring any medium. This aparoksha jnanam is sakshat jnanam that is referred here. And further, how should you know? Niyamiti manasa vidhi. The first condition is know the Atma as aham iti. We already saw, I am the Atma. I say it and it is a fact to me. When I say I am the Atma, it is not just only words, it is a fact to me. That's the first condition. I am aham iti vidhi. And second condition is sakshat vidhi. Know it immediately, know it directly, aparokshataya. And the third point is niyamita manasa vidhi. With a mind which is disciplined, which does not have any impurities at all. Here we mean discipline this, which doesn't have any impurities, doesn't have any complex, inferiority complex, superiority complex. They are in psychology, they call it all core problems of the mind. As long as the mind has any core emotional problem, the intellect will never be free. The intellect is hostage of an emotionally affected mind. That's what they say. The intellect will be free to do its job only when the emotional mind releases the intellect to do what it has to do. That is why values, etc., religion becomes very important, primarily to handle the emotional mind. That is why values are all important. So through devotion, through karma yoga, through values, we make the mind a healthy mind, an emotionally balanced mind. The healthy mind will release the intellect to do its job then. And such a mind is called Niyamita Manasa, regulated mind, very healthy mind, balanced mind. So, Shuddha Antakaranena Vidhi. That is why a Vedantic student should be emotionally also sound. And therefore, get that. Shankaracharya does not say how to acquire that. He only says you have to get such a mind. But for that, our answer is what? That religion is the best method. Swamiji relates an article from Reader's Digest long ago, where a devout Christian woman, she was diagnosed with so many problems. And she also broke her hip bone. And she goes to the doctor. And so much of psychological and so much of physical illnesses. But when he goes to the doctor, she gets cured and recovers very quickly. The doctor, even the immune system, the biological health, that becomes very better. And the doctor was very amazed. He thought this is a hopeless case. This was actually in a Reader's Digest, it seems, an article was there. And the doctor was very surprised. And when he asked her, she said, I'm not doing anything special. I'm just only a devout Christian. I think of God all the time. Whatever I do or whatever I have, I do only the God all the time. That's what he says. So when that is the case, that person, that the religion, the faith, that is why someone say, if there is no God, better create one. Invent one God. So religion is the first best method of maintaining emotional health. Especially our religion, because we have got to enjoy any type of relationship also. God as father, God as mother, God as friend. Because ideal relationship can solve many of these psychological problems. So niyamita manasa means by being a religious person, by surrendering to any ishta devata, enjoy a sober, calm mind. This is to take care of all the emotional issues, but that alone is not adequate because Vedanta requires the deepest thinking. Because for a Vedantin, moksha is not shedding tears in emotion. Moksha is ultimately wisdom. And what is wisdom? Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahmaiva Naparnapara. That is the knowledge. So the most difficult idea to swallow. Why? Vedanta says that this tangible world which I see, feel, touch is unreal. Who can accept it? The eternally invisible Brahman, it says as the only reality. All the time what I experience, Vedanta says is unreal. And the final bombshell is what? Vedanta says, of all the people in the world, it says, I am Brahman, ultimate reality. That is almost like the final straw to disbelieve Vedanta. So there are many philosophers who say, it is a sacrilege to say that, you know, they say, you are Bhagavan, you and Bhagavan are one and same. Don't even utter those words. It doesn't make any sense. They say, you should say that, I am a simple, humble dasa of the Lord. So, to accept Vedanta, I need a tremendous intellectual conviction. Therefore, buddhi also has to be sound for a Vedantic student. Swamiji says that there are many other religions which are consistently illogical and don't want you to use your buddhi at all. But for Vedanta, one requires buddhi prasada, second line. You need a logical intellect, a thinking intellect with the knowledge of Pada, Vakya, Pramana, Jnanam. You should know language very well, since one has to master the scriptures, grammar, all that. Then how to analyze a sentence, it's called Mimamsa. Then Tarka Jnanam, the capacity to logically think and analyze. Pramana Jnanam. So Pada Jnanam is grammar, Vakya Jnanam is the capacity to interpret, and finally the Pramana Jnanam is the capacity to logically think. One has to know all that. All these are faculties of what? Buddhi. And therefore, with the help of a healthy intellect and an emotionally sound mind, may you know the Atma. Okay. Where should I know the Atma? He says, Atmani. Atmani means Buddha in the intellect. Why so? Because it is a knowledge that takes place in the intellect alone. Intellect is the locus of any knowledge. Material knowledge or spiritual knowledge. Physical body is not the locus of any knowledge. Neither the sthula shariram nor the karana shariram. Atma can never be the locus of any knowledge. So by elimination, only sukshma shariram alone, otherwise the buddhi alone, is the locus of any knowledge, any jnana. That is why we repeatedly say that the self-knowledge requires the buddhi intact. By transacting, transcending buddhi or stopping the buddhi, you cannot get any knowledge at all. That is why we say nirvikalpaka samadhi cannot produce any knowledge. People may be in a great experience samadhi, but doesn't produce any knowledge, because to remove the vikalpa or division, you have to resolve the intellect. And how can any knowledge take place when there is no intellect? That's why we say shastra shravanam is the means of knowledge, and therefore buddhi is the locus. We have got one locus of knowledge, namely buddhi, and we have several instruments of knowledge like the ears, the eyes, so many things. But locus of knowledge is buddhi. Interesting thing is, buddhi itself serves as an instrument of knowledge also. When we use logic, anumana pramana, reasoning, even at that time, the locus of knowledge is buddhi. Even if you use buddhi as an instrument of knowledge, even at that time, the locus of knowledge is buddhi only. Therefore, whenever shastra negates buddhi as useless, for example, yatova chorivartante apraha pyamanasasaha, when Upanishad says that, whenever shastra negates buddhi, we should understand clearly it negates buddhi only as an instrument of knowledge. But shastra will never negate buddhi as a locus of knowledge, and so it should be retained. So if buddhi is removed as an instrument, then what should be used as an instrument then? Only shastras. Shastra pramanam will be the instrument, and even when we use it as an instrument, where does the knowledge take place? In buddhi only. Even Lord cannot change this law. Even the Lord cannot change this law. And so know the Atma where? Atmani, antakarane, buddhav, in the buddhi. How? Through a special thought form, which is aham, amum, aham brahmasmi, iti vritya, iti vidhi. Know that aham brahmasmi. So up to this, the method of knowledge. So with a sound intellect, with a sound mind, may you know Atma as I, directly, immediately. Now, Jnanapalam is going to be said. With that, we can conclude. Brahma Rupena Samstaha. By this knowledge, may you abide as Brahman. Not abide in Brahman. We have to be very careful. Abide as Brahman. Then what will I get? Krithartaha Bhava. Be totally fulfilled, satisfied. Artaha means Purushartaha, and Kritaha means accomplished. Kritartaha means Krita Purushartaha, by be one who has accomplished all the four Purusharthas. The one who has accomplished all the four Purusharthas means Moksha, which is Moksha, which includes all the four Purusharthas. Yavanartha Udapane, Sarvata Samplutodake, Tava Sarveshu Vedeshu, Brahmanasya Vjanataha. Once I get Moksha, I may say I have no money, but I will never say I am poor. There is no money is not samsara or bandha. But what is bandha? I am poor is samsara. Swamiji beautifully says, previously he was poor without money. Now he is poor with money. Poverty is not in the possession. It is in the mind. Richness is in the mind. Kaupina vantaha, kalu bhagya vantaha. That's what Acharya says. He may have nothing except a kaupinam, but bhagyavantaha. He is the person who is the richest person who can think of. So, krithartho bhava, krita krityaha bhava. And samsara sindhum prathara. May you cross the ocean of samsara. And what kind of samsara it is? Jani, marana, taranga, para, samsara sindhu. The ocean of samsara which has got waves of birth and death. Jani means janma, marana, death. Taranga means waves. Not only that, it is also aparaha. Limitless. Para is shore, banks. Limitless or shoreless or infinite samsara. Samsara does not leave you wherever you go, since it is inside the person. Samsara is not an external thing. It is inside me. Wherever I go, it comes with me. So go to whom to get rid of this problem of the samsara? Ajnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. That is the only way. Go to that guru who will take you, help you to cross this samsara, to cross this shoreless ocean of samsara with all the huge waves of birth and death. That is the jnana phalam. By this jnanam, that is the phalam one will enjoy. With that, Acharya concludes the shloka. And with this, the Atma topic also is concluded. and we will continue in the next webinar the further topics. Yovedadavaswara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana.